Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Amen. God bless you and thank you guys. You're going to have a treat today. Pastor Russell is going to be bringing the message, and it's very interesting. So, of course, his messages are always very interesting. He's very creative, very unique in his gifting. But before we do that, we have some prayer needs and some praise reports. So I want to get some prayer needs here. Number one, announcement is no healing rooms until further notice. No healing rooms until further notice. Okay, we'll get that out of the way. We want to pray. We've had some families to going home of their mother. Stephen Smith is with us. His mother passed away last night, I understand. Went home and to be with Jesus. So we want to pray for them and Henry Ann and their family. And it's good to see you here today. It really is. Miss Betty Gattenbein went home to be with the Lord. That's the mother of Bobby, Teddy, Dale Ann, and Dawn. That's her daughters. And a granddaughter, Christine Lawson. So we want to pray for the Gattenbein family and also for Steve Smith's family. And while we're at it, I want you to take note of this. While we're at it, we want to pray for Pastor Ricky Petit and for Grace Chapel Four Square Church. They're in a battle with COVID, and Pastor Ricky has it, and we want to make sure that we lift them up and pray for them. They're not having service for this week. And we just want to pray for that church. That, you know, once again, we're all one body. We're all one. We never should lose sight of that. It's not a we them, or it's they're us. We are them. So we're all one body in Jesus' name. So we want to pray for Ricky, Pastor Ricky, and I want to pray also for Pastor Mike Snellgrove of Cornerstone Fellowship. He was in a hunting accident. Wednesday, I think, and lost his hand. So we want to make sure we pray for him. We just want to spend time, just a moment, praying for these. So if you will join me in prayer, and whichever one the Lord impresses, just pray for them all, but whichever one the Lord really focuses on with you, just be able to do that. I'm sorry? See, that one I didn't know about. So it's Ed Somerville's mother? Your grandmother. Okay. Okay, I did not know that. So that's another one we need to pray for. So let's just spend some time, just a little bit of time going to the Lord with all these requests. Father, you are the Father and the God of all comfort. That's what you said in your word. And, Lord, we call upon you now to comfort these families that have lost loved ones and lost their mothers. It looks like a lot of mothers went home to be with you. And, Lord, we just ask you in Jesus' name to give them comfort, give them peace, the family. And we just ask you, Father, that they would be strengthened by your presence. And, Lord, we do say that if there's anyone that is connected to these families, in these families that do not know you in a personal way, God, that you would speak to their hearts and present yourself to be the real, one, true God who has made a way for them to be able to have life and life eternal. Lord, these mothers just, they just left this earth, but they started living their eternal life when they said yes to you and repented of their sins. So, God, they're enjoying the fullness of your presence. Lord, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So, Lord, we celebrate that, and we thank you. We just ask you for peace and comfort in all these families. Lord, we lift up Pastor Ricky Petit and the church, Four Square, Grace Chapel Four Square. We just ask you in Jesus' name to bring a healing presence in that house. Bring healing to him. And, Lord, we just pray that you'd protect his family from being contagious with it. We just ask you, Father, that you would just raise them up and cleanse the house of sickness and COVID. And we just speak to COVID and say, be gone in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just ask you to raise them up with total healing. And Lord, we just pray for other people who have struggled with this. We just ask you in Jesus' name to show your presence and to bring the stripes of Jesus into full operation, Lord, to have them to be healed in Jesus' name. Strengthen their bodies in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray for Pastor Mike Snellgrove. And Lord, we just ask you in Jesus' name to bring healing. And Lord, I pray physically, and I also pray, God, that emotionally, that he would have the presence of God being made known to him, that he would be emotionally strong. And Lord, just keep depression, keep any of that from him. Lord, we pray for his family. And we ask you, God, that you would just strengthen this family, strengthen this house as well. Cornerstone Fellowship, we just ask you to blessings upon them, Lord. May it overflow. And Lord, we just ask you in Jesus' name to comfort this family. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here's a praise report. Chuck Teague's father had a pacemaker put in, and he is doing absolutely great. So that's awesome. That is awesome, awesome, awesome. Another praise report, we took up an offering for the Grace of God Rescue Mission to have the turkeys for Thanksgiving dinner. They fed 645 people. Amen. That is great. And your offering not only paid for 30 turkeys, it also paid for 200 boxes of food that I can actually give away to the needy as well. So that's a give God praise. Y'all did a wonderful job. All right, are you ready for the word? You ready for the uniqueness of Pastor Russell to just come and just actually surprise us and put us in awe of God? Amen. Are you ready for that? Pastor Russell, come on up.
Yeah, no pressure or anything. No pressure. Good night. Wow, what an introduction. Man. But it is always, always, always an honor to get to speak to you. It's an opportunity, and I certainly don't take it lightly ever. So greetings from the youth department. Pray for this generation. I tell you, they need prayer unlike any other season I've ever seen it. Just so many questions that need to be answered, and we've all got them. But today, let me just ask you this. How important is what we leave behind us? I'm not talking about the junk you leave behind you when you move. We moved a few months ago, and crazy story, sold our daughter our house, and she got married, and I was talking to Mike earlier, and walking my daughter down the aisle was a whole new experience, and I did good. I really did. Where I struggled was when they did what they call the reveal picture, you know, and the father of the bride is standing there gazing intently out a window, and then your daughter comes with a wedding gown behind you, taps you on the back, you turn around for the photographer to capture that moment. And I was a mess. I started crying. Michelle started crying. My daughter started crying. The bridesmaid started crying. And so it was a glorious time. So I don't even know why I went there other than you guys are family and my daughter, Mrs. Carrie now, which I'm still struggling with, is actually serving in media today, running the camera for us, so I appreciate that. But anyway, in today's culture, let me just ask you, does our legacy have any value at all? And I would say definitely yes. Our legacy is more important now probably than any other time. And so, you know, we have on our slogan, love God, love people, make a difference. Our legacy is what determines the level of difference that we make. And we can make a difference now, but I want to know what difference I'm going to make when I'm gone. There's a guy named Jonathan Goldstein. He's a talk radio show host for the National Post. And in 2013, he had this statement to make. 10 a.m., he says, this week's episode of my radio show is called Legacy, and it deals with the things we wish to leave behind. When I walk into the studio to record the opening monologue, I find the room smelling of coconuts. Because of this, I know that Andrea has just been in there. I wonder what the studio will smell like when I'm done with it. And he made this statement. Or more broadly speaking, what will my life smell like when I'm done with it? So that's why Pastor Terry is saying it's a unique message. It's different because he was asking me what the title was for the message. I said, well, I started off with, what's that smell? And he and I are trying to find a graphic to go with that and post on Facebook. Then we went with smells like a legacy. Hey, he's still kind of struggling. So we went with just legacy. I said, I'll develop the smell part when we get into it because we're going to talk about smells today. So anyway, he asked that question, what will my life smell like? At 10:35 a.m., he's at his desk. Gregor phones in and he puts the question to him. Gregor, what will the life I leave behind smell of? And Gregor says, garbage. And he says, well, how can you say that? Well, it's not necessarily a bad thing. There are so many different types of garbage. I'm sure garbage outside of a flower shop smells okay. So he says he tried to find encouragement in Gregor's words, but was unable to do so. I can understand that. So I was surprised to find that article, because it's amazing what you'll come up with when you're doing research for legacy and smells. It's an odd pairing, to say the least. But doing that research, I found out that legacies are what we leave behind, and so is a smell. They're both indicators of what we've been around, right? So let me ask you this. How can you tell if someone has eaten at a Mexican restaurant? Now, you're laughing. Pastor Terry says, don't go there. I'm just talking about if I have a steaming plate of fajitas. Okay? Anybody hungry yet? And you leave that restaurant, and you run into somebody that wasn't at that restaurant, will they be able to tell that you just had Mexican food? Probably, because that smell of fajitas and the sizzling meat and the cooked vegetables and that, you know, as you lean over the plate and get a facial, you know, the whole thing, that lingers. Am I right? So does your legacy. It lingers and it lasts. So how many of you pay attention to the smells that are around you? Do any scents trigger a powerful moment, maybe a childhood memory, something like that? Mary Higgins, are you out here? If she's not, I'm going to tell on her. She was up here in the media room before the service, and her and Justin were talking about their life group or group of friends going to Pigeon Forge for breakfasts and how awesome Pigeon Forge breakfasts are. Well, Mary says she cooks breakfast on the weekends because their schedules work out better. She's making breakfast at home, and the smell at home reminded her of breakfast in Tennessee. It just triggered memories. I can tell you about a smell. If you know me and if you've known me any length of time, you know that I do not like pickles. I cannot stand pickles. To me, pickles are a perversion of God's creation. God made cucumbers, man twisted it, and made pickles. Just an opinion. But I was working for a company back in the 80s, and we put exhaust systems in factories. I was going to Charlotte to do a service call on a particular job. Didn't know what it was, had not liked pickles much my whole life. And I find out it's the Heinz vinegar plant. So all I had to do was go take a measurement and then do all my work outside on their loading dock where there was fresh air. So the guy's showing me how to get up there. We're walking and we climb these steps and I'm starting to get the sense that it is indeed a vinegar plant. And so we're walking, we're climbing these ladders, these steps, and then we're walking out this grate and I look below us and there are these enormous vats of vinegar. And you're walking over it and you're looking down and then that pungent stench, I don't know how else to put it, is just right up your nose. So I'm going up, making the measurement, and you know, how many of you know if you smell something really bad, you're gonna, you know, a little bit? And so I'm with the tape measure and measuring, and the guy works there, so he's used to this. He's having fun. He's having fun watching me gag. So I'm measuring it, and I'm smelling the vinegar, and I'm like, okay, yeah, okay, we're good, let's go outside. But to this day, the smell of pure vinegar takes my mind back to that event, which was a very negative experience for me. Who's doing the inner healing? Mike and Kelly aren't even here today. You know, maybe I need some prayer. Maybe I need some inner healing for this aversion to vinegar smells. But the point is, that smell lingers in my life some 30 years later. Now, let me ask you this. We just finished Thanksgiving. We're going into the holiday season. What would life be like without the smell of the holidays? How many of you have a... I want to ask you to tell me what it is, because it could go lots of different directions with this message. So we're going to keep it reeled in. But how many of you have a favorite holiday smell that brings back a very specific memory? Awesome. Awesome. Tons of you. Most of us. So you can smell something. I can smell, you know, we used to do real trees when I was growing up all the time. Michelle and I got married. I wanted real trees. She was used to fake trees. I said, but we got to have real trees. So we had real trees for a long time. We're doing fake trees now because it is easier. But you know what I have to have in the house? A scented candle that smells like balsam. Because that candle can light. If it's a good one, I'm not talking about the cheap ones that smell like Vicks Vapor Rub. It's Christmas. No, it's not. That's the flu. Let's seriously, don't get that. Yankee Candle, and this is a plug for them. I probably won't get any money for it. But they have a candle that is so realistic. I can walk in our house and smell that. I'm like, oh, yeah, childhood Christmases. This is awesome. This is wonderful. Oh, the fake tree. But it smells, our house smells like Christmas. You know, and Thanksgiving. I can't tell you, my mother-in-law cooks such a spread. It is unbelievable the food that this woman makes and that we all pitch in, this kind of thing. But I can smell that turkey and the sweet potatoes and the dressing. And I can remember, now usually we don't think of that other than when it's around Thanksgiving. So there are smells tied to this. I want to read you this article. It's called Welcome to Our Museum of Smells. Two folks curate a collection of reader ideas in response to a recent New York Times article about the power of smell. And here's how they introduced the piece. The restaurant critic Tejal Rao, and I probably butchered the name, recently created a personal smell museum of her life in Los Angeles. And she says this, every time you notice a smell, fresh bread, your best friend's house, a wet dog, garlic frying in butter. I'm glad to see you guys, with all the talk of food and smells, you're still with me. So thank you for not leaving. But what this means is volatile particles in the air have entered your body and for a moment become part of you. There is no sense more intimate or more complex, which is why recalling your own personal smell memories can be so precise, so vivid, and even emotional. So sense of smell is so vital, and it's so emotional. It warns us of danger. Smell smoke, you're going to look for a fire. You smell gas, you're going to look for a leak. But I think our, you know, olfactory system is really overlooked a lot of times. But it ties so much to emotion and memory. Studies have shown that unpleasant, bad smells actually send pain messages to our brain across the limbic system. I learned that. How many of y'all already knew that? Okay, so we're all learning together. Some of y'all are smarter than the rest of us. So, but I want you to look at this, because some of those smells, you ever had a smell that reminds you of a negative experience? Yeah. All right. Well, here's some folks who have some quotes about smells. Helen Keller, which just makes total sense. Smell is a potent wizard that transports you across thousands of miles in all the years you've lived. I get that. Oliver Wendell Holmes, memories, imagination, old sentiments and associations are more readily reached through the sense of smell than through any other channel. And one that I loved is Coco Chanel. If you know who she is the, you know, perfume person. I hate that. Sorry. A woman who doesn't wear perfume has no future. Now, let me give you my opinion and my interpretation of that. A woman who doesn't wear perfume is not contributing to my future as Coco Chanel. That's my spin on her statement there. And let me just say this. Who has worked with or had teenagers before in your life? There is not a youth pastor alive, I can tell you this, because I know lots of them, who has been on a youth trip with an enclosed church van full of junior high boys. This is another thing where I'm going to need some prayer. Need healing for the vinegar smell and the years of taking junior high boys on road trips. Because there's not another smell like that. And most of you are laughing because you either had a teenager or you've been working with youth and you're like, man, junior high boy, I don't know what it is. But there's not another smell like that. And I guarantee you it triggers memories. Even when I talk about it, I'm like, whew, God, roll the windows down. Do something, guys. Come on. So let me ask you, or you may be asking me, why would you spend the first half of your message talking about smell and laying this foundation? And I think because of the sense of smell is so closely tied to memories and to emotions and this kind of thing, and so are our legacies. And Scripture actually talks about how our lives, our testimonies, are a fragrance. Look at 2 Corinthians 2, 14 and 15. But thank God that junior high boys grow up. And then we have to help them smell better. But thank God, Paul says, he has made us captives and continues to lead us along in Christ's triumphal procession. Now he uses us to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere, like what? A sweet perfume. And then he says in verse 15, this is where I wanted to focus, our lives are like a Christ-like fragrance rising up to God. Now that is powerful. So in that, let me ask you this. Who has ever stepped in dog poop? And have you ever done that and you don't immediately know that you did? And then maybe you walk into a building. And I thought about, you know, stepping in some, bringing it here and see who recognizes. You know, Pastor Terry has given me this opportunity. While I want to make a point, I need to kind of keep it within some semblance of respect. Because I do want you to remember what we're talking about. But I guarantee you, it's not long before you or somebody with you is like, man, what? Man, do you smell that? I don't smell it. What is that smell? And then you, man. Oh, okay. Then you're, you know, finding something. You want to separate yourself from that bad smell as quickly as you can. Now, how many of you have people in your life who you allow to speak into your life to the point that if you have bad breath, they can come tell you? I do. You know, I have had people in my life, part of the youth leadership team, you know, speaking to people. I said, please, before I get up to speak, let me know if my breath is bad. Give me a mint. You know, and I've had people say, hey, come here. You've been drinking coffee. Take this. Smell this. You know, eat this. We need to have something better. So we need to have people in our life that can tell us, look, your breath stinks. Likewise, we need to have people in our life that says, your life is not smelling so good right now. We need to change the smell of what you're leaving behind. Because I guarantee you, bad smells repel people. I mean, am I right? Okay. So let me ask you this. If I say the phrase, it stinks, in response to a story or a statement that somebody made, what can you infer from me using the phrase, man, that stinks? That stinks. That stinks. What can you infer from that? Was it mostly positive or negative? Negative. It's negative. God, man, I hate that happened to you. Gosh, that really stinks. I am so sorry that happened. That stinks. That's terrible. I'm sorry you lost your job. That stinks. So we already refer bad smells to bad things that happen in life. So shouldn't we say, man, you are like a fragrant aroma? Now that's a little, you know, King James-ish. But I think it's okay to do that. So now, let's see, it's 20 after we finished the introduction. So now let's get into the message on legacy. The Pastor Terry is saying, thank God, because legacy and smells, I'm wondering where this is going. But I appreciate his trust. So definition of legacy. It's a part of a person that lives on long after that person has passed. A legacy also leaves behind the story of a person so they're not forgotten. Legacies are important pathways or the future to follow or to be guided by in order to make better decisions in life. Man, if our life can be lived in such a way that it guides people and draws people to making better decisions in their life, then we have made a difference. That's great. I wish you people online could see this and hear this. We're listening to Siri give us scripture, so that's really good. So that's awesome. It's interesting. I'll use this moment to take a drink. But seriously, wouldn't that be awesome if we could look at our lives and just say, wow, I lived a life so that it guided people to make better decisions. That's what any of us, not just youth ministers or senior pastors or associate pastors, any of us who say we are Christians need to, first of all, live like it, but live in such a way that it draws people to Christ and not repels them, that our life is a fragrant aroma that pulls people in and doesn't make them run away. John 12:3, and you're all familiar with this verse, then Mary took a 12-ounce jar of expensive what? Perfume. Made from the essence of nard, and she anointed Jesus' feet with it, wiping his feet with her hair. The house was filled with what? The fragrance. Now, don't you know that people talk about smells years after they're gone? Oh, do you remember that? Man, you remember that smell? Do you remember that smell? And so I promise you, it's not in scripture, but I shouldn't promise. I'll bet you, I shouldn't bet in church. Let's just say this probably is what happened, and that's a safe blanket we can cover it with. Years later, people would smell that brand of perfume and immediately be transported back to that day. If they were in that room, because this says it filled the whole house. Don't you know, somebody said, man, man, that smell, you know what that is? Man, you remember when Mary, man, you remember when she did this? So that smell could be equated to sacrifice. Man, you know what that smell is? That smells like sacrifice. Man, what a great smell. Oh, what a good reminder that is. That smells like sacrifice. So there are things like that. Mary, you are here now. The one she shared with me this morning, I said, hey, what did you talk about breakfast? And she shared that with me. But one that stuck out that she shared with me up there was about really going through a tough time in life and to the point where it's okay if I say, I don't know if I can go on with what I'm going through right now. And all of a sudden, she had a smell. And what was it a smell of, Mary? Her daddy's cologne. And her daddy had passed. But all of a sudden, she got this smell of her dad's cologne. And in her heart, felt her daddy say, you can make it. You can go on. But the smell that I firmly believe God used and brought in her life at that moment reminded her of something. Now, back to the Museum of Smells we talked about earlier, which is just goofy anyway, as a title. Amy Ross, 15-year-old kid in Iverness, Scotland, says this, it's now been over a year and a half since I've been inside my grandmother's house. I visited her garden and made us and said a socially distanced hello, but it just wasn't the same. I missed the smell of her house. I used to stay there for a few nights every so often, and I'd always come home smelling of Granny's house. Grandparents' houses just have a unique, welcoming smell. Hers says, I wish there was a better word for it. I think it's a combination of home cooking, dust, and love. My grandmother's house was the same way. She was a pack rat and hoarded stuff in her basement. It was just a musty, crowded, smelly, warm, loving, accepting home. But if I smell that musty smell, oh yeah, oh, grandmother, wow, she was just so good. Donna Lovelady, 57, in Indianapolis, says this, I wish there were a single word for the smell of sawdust, motor oil, and soil. That combination of manly smells always makes me think of my father, who worked with his hands all his life. It's what I smell in his garage 25 years later after he passed away, it makes me feel safe. A smell. That legacy of her father is basically a smell of safety. Mary Higgins' dad's cologne was a smell of, I can do it. I can make it. I can go on. So what do you want to be remembered for? What would you like your legacy to be? What smell would you like to leave behind? We're moving away from the dog poop, okay? We've moved on into something else. Will you leave a pungent stench or a pleasing aroma? It's your choice, regardless of your past. So let me ask this, and I get a little personal. Norman Nanny said, I know you're preaching today, at least for my benefit. You know, I wore soft-toed shoes, so don't step on my toes too much. So, Norman, this is for you, man. But let me get a little personal. Who uses social media to any extent? It's kid. I love Siri, but it can be kind of funny sometimes. Would you want to be remembered? Would you want your legacy to be your last Facebook post? Would you? Think about the last one that you posted. Somebody already said, nope, not mine. I would want your last thing that you said or spoke to somebody. Would you want that to be the very last thing people remember of you? No, please. And yet, we'll continue posting those things as if we're not going to be remembered, as if somehow the internet, you know, magician will magically wipe it all away. But here's a newsflash, and most of us know this, what you put on there stays forever. Ever. Forever and ever. Amen. So, but, you know, during our recent, I think, political, social, cultural climate that we live in, that kind of stuff is more important now than it ever has been. Because I have seen social media get perverted, twisted, and abused to be mean, to be hurtful, and really to be cowardly. Because we'll put stuff on there that we would not ever say to the person if we were face to face. That's our legacy. And I'm going to say our, because I'm going to tell him, and I'm going to type it out. And I don't need to put that, so I'll delete it. That's a good exercise. Just don't hit send or post or anything else. Or go type it or write it somewhere else that you're not going to post it. It's okay to get that out. You need to get those negative things out. But good night. Don't put it where it's going to be hurtful or bring shame. So, again, will you stink or be a fragrant aroma? When this COVID stuff started and everybody's wearing the masks, and my wife and I went to Arden and we ate at Neo Burrito. If you've never eaten at Neo Burrito, great place to eat. And all of a sudden, you know, had the mask off to eat, and I smelled this amazing smelling cologne. Even now, I can kind of think of it, and I remember the guy that was there, and I was behind him in line. He was 6'5", big guy, and I told my wife, I said, honey, I'm going to go ask him what cologne that is. She said, you're so weird. So put my mask on, walk up to the guy who's finishing eating. I said, excuse me, sir, this is going to be really awkward and really strange, but man, you smell really good. I said, I have to know. I said, my wife right there, I want to know what that smell is. That cologne is amazing. He told me what it was, so I'm making a mental note. I'm going to get me some of that. But even now, talking about the smell, I'm like, that guy, which is a little weird, Neo Burrito. It puts me right back in that place. So let's look at what I call this next section, and we're going to be wrapping up really soon. Biblical legacies or smells from the Bible. Some of you are like, oh gosh, Russell, please. How about Lazarus? John 11, 38 through 39. So Jesus, again, being deeply moved within, came to the tomb. Now it was a cave, and the stone was lying against it. Jesus said, remove the stone. Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be a stench. He's been dead for 4 days. And think about this. What if Lazarus would have would have stayed in the grave? What if he had not come out? He would stink as his body was decaying. But his soul answered the call of Jesus and he came out, and I promise you there was no stench of death. Because as they sang in the song, Graves to Gardens, and Charlie, I didn't even ask you to put that one in the list, but man, that is so perfect, because only God can take the smell of a grave and turn it into the smell of a garden. Only God can take the smell of death and turn it into a smell of a new life. So whatever your legacy has been up to this point, if it's a pungent stench, then it can be a new smell. It can be a garden. Amen? Here's a legacy of three teenage young men who, because of their faithfulness, didn't even smell like smoke. Daniel 3:27. Then the high officers, officials, governors, advisors crowded around them and saw that the fire had not touched them, not a hair on their heads was singed, and their clothing was not scorched. They didn't even smell of smoke. How many of you know, if you're around a campfire, you know, or somebody who does smoke or whatever, you come away, you smell like smoke. Again, what we're around affects the people that we come in contact with. Paul even referred to person's testimony as a fragrant aroma. Philippians 4:18. But I have received everything in full and in abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent. A fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. So there we see fragrant aroma referred to as an acceptable what? Sacrifice. But it's pleasing to God. Just a few more. Saul's legacy, he never would have become Paul. He would have died smelling like a Christian killer. That would be the memory that people had. Peter could have only been remembered as the guy who denied Christ. David could have been known only as an adulterer and a murderer. Instead, he smelled like a worshiper. Moses might have been remembered only as that angry old man. Noah could have been remembered as only someone who smelled like a drunk. But his legacy was changed. And as a country artist, Rascal Flatts, puts it, it ain't a question of if they will, but how they remember you.
High school yearbooks, so they wouldn't forget about me. It wasn't till I saw my daddy's name in stone I knew. It ain't a question of if they will, it's how they remember you. Did you stay?
You'll leave a legacy, no matter what you do. This song came out earlier this year, and the Lord just started quickening this message months ago. And I thought, well, Lord, whatever, you know, whenever this message is appropriate, then so, you know, you bring it forth. And Pastor Terry asked me that, and I went, oh, gotcha. Because I remember talking to Stephen several months ago. I said, man, there's something inside me. Smells like a legacy. Smells like a legacy. But God is the God of turns. God is the God of refresh, reset. God is the God of new smells. God is the God that can take the stench of what has been 2020 and turn it into something new. But what will your legacy be from 2020? Will you be an instrument of unity or a weapon of division? Because that's the two choices we have. In David's conversation with Goliath in 1 Samuel 17, he reminded the giant that what? The battle is the Lord's. And there are so many scriptures about the battle is the Lord's. But I recently heard during February of 2019, there was an article by Los Angeles columnist. Los Angeles received 18 trillion gallons of water, and yet news kept reporting that they were in a drought. A drought with 18 trillion gallons of water in February alone. The ground couldn't handle that much rain. It simply ran off and went down the drain into the Pacific Ocean. The columnist referred to this as wasted rain. 18 trillion gallons of water. So let me turn that to us and our legacies. How many of us have had trillions of gallons of truth poured into us over years and years and years? What are we doing with it? Are we taking that truth and living a legacy or not? Has that truth, now it won't because God's word does not return void, but has that been a wasted rain in our life? Have we just let it kind of hit us, flow through us, out and down the drain, and not to really live it out? And that, to be, I told Mary, I think, that song is one of the most convicting songs that I have heard this year. You know, did you live your dreams or let them die? When it comes to your last dollar, did you give or just take? Because you're going to live a legacy. Going back to David's conversation, the battle indeed may be the Lord's, but the app is yours. I heard a pastor say that this past week, and it made me mad a little bit. Not necessarily because I'm posting hateful things, but whatever app, whatever thing is on my phone might be taking the place of time that I need to be spending with the Lord. So that, yes, the battle is the Lord's. The strength is His. Anything we have comes from Him. But even though God is always in control, He doesn't always take control. Because we have a choice. We've got a choice to what we do. We have a choice to how we're going to smell. You know, I mean, and we can even put it in daily, very applicable terms. I can choose to put on deodorant this morning or not. And later in the day, you're going to know the difference if you're around me. And hopefully somebody will say, did you forget to put on deodorant today? Oh, man, yeah. Has anybody ever done that? Let's just get real, get honest. I work putting sound systems in churches and schools all across the state. And I was getting ready to go on a job and forgot to put on deodorant. Was driving, got up in the attic, started working. I'm like, whoo, man, I'm not leaving a very good legacy right now. And so I immediately, during lunch, went to the CVS, got some deodorant, put it on, and I was good the rest of the day. But we are called to be a fragrant, this is what I put in my notes, a fragrant therapeutic aroma diffuser of essential oils to the world we live in. How many of you guys have diffusers in your home? You know, that kind of thing. So, and I hope you guys are listening at home and watching this at home are doing the same thing. You know, you ought to put something in chat about, hey, I'm a diffuser. Something. You know, let us know you're there and communicate with us because this is an interactive thing that we're doing here. So, but if you get the image of a diffuser, that's us. And the essential oil in Scripture talks about the Holy Spirit. So we should have that so filled up in us that that is what diffuses and comes out as an aroma to people around us. If you've been smelling pretty bad, then like I said, God's the God of refresh. God's the God of new smells. And there's always, always, always hope. So during this holiday season, I'm closing, I've noticed one constant, regardless of the issue that's going on. I'm talking about the cultural season we're in, not necessarily the holiday, is everybody wants their voice to be heard. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. But if everybody wants their voice to be heard and there are very few that actually want to listen, we've got a problem. Because we can all, regardless of age, gender, race, background, past, bad legacy, good legacy, whatever, can learn from each other. You know, hanging out with teenagers most of my adult life, I have learned so much from teenagers. And I've learned a lot from people who are older than me. That number is getting smaller the older I get. But listen, I think we can learn so much from each other. But we've got to get past, oh, I just want to be heard. You got to hear my voice. Yeah, but we got to listen. Because each of us have a legacy. We have some truth. We have some things that we can share that can help each other. But if we're too busy wanting to be heard and wanting, you got to listen to this. Well, we're not going to leave a good legacy, I can promise you. Amen? So let's be a diffuser of God's grace. Romans 12 really sums it up. It has a ton to say about how we should be and all this kind of stuff. Our life should be a sacrifice, love without hypocrisy, bless those who persecute you. Don't be prideful and arrogant. But verse 18 says this, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all people. Because you are the only person that you can control. Now, you can say things, you can influence people and have an effect on people, but you are the only one that you can control. So if possible, which that tells me it is possible, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with all people. And let's be that diffuser of grace. And let's commit to leave a good-smelling legacy. Amen? So, Pastor, there is your legacy, your smells, and your country music. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you, Father, that you left a legacy through Scripture of people who changed our lives as a direct legacy that they left. Father, help us to take what we've heard today, to grab the truth that was here, to learn that we can live a life that is a fragrant aroma to the world we live in. Father, may we be the diffusers of your grace to a hurting and dying world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org. Or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.